We're going to start and see where the Lord leads. Heavenly Father and our God, we thank you so much for who you are, for all that you've done and all that you're doing even now. As we embark on today's study, I pray your Holy Spirit will teach us all things. I pray the eyes will be opened, the ears will be attentive, and every heart will be transformed for your glory. Have your way as we look to you to teach us all things. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we ask and pray. And all of God's people say, amen and amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, our topic for today is, get this up on here. Don't you get it? Question mark. It's all about the worship. Don't you get it? It's all about the worship. We're going to talk about some things today that you may not know. Or maybe you did, but nonetheless, here we go. First of all, it's funny to me how everyone on earth is a worshiper. I'll say it again. Everyone on the face of the earth is a worshiper. But only a few acknowledge that they do. People don't know that they're worshiping God or they're worshiping the devil. Either way, you're still going to worship. Now let's go back to where this thing kind of started. Let's look at why we were created. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verses 15 to 16. It says this: Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, something is changing there, man. My microphone is getting different now. Okay, that sounds better a little bit. Again, for through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. We are included. We were created for Christ Jesus and God the Father. What were we created for? To worship. We're not just created to eat, soak up the atmosphere, have a good time, party, do our thing. No, we're created to worship. And if we don't get that in our mind, in our spirit, in our hearts, and we just want to do our own thing, we totally miss the mark. And missing the mark is sinning. Missing the mark is exactly. Now, people think that worship is just, oh, I sing a few songs. No. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is how you treat others. Worship is how you conduct yourself in the presence of God. And Satan was jealous because God had all these angels worshiping him. They were treating him with the utmost respect. They were saying, you are worthy. And they conducted themselves in a godly manner because they were worshiping God. Satan got jealous and like, man, I want people to do that for me. And some of us, that's what we desire. We want people to worship us, don't we? We want people to praise us. They're like, girl, your hair looks so good. Yeah, I know. Cost me about $150. What you should say is, to God be the glory. Direct the worship to him. You know what happened to Satan, right? If you don't, Let me show you. Go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Let's see what happened to Satan because he lusted for the worship. Oh, you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. Now, the stars are the angels, okay? I will preside on the mountain of the gods, far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. Instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to its lowest depths. Now, hell, which is where he's talking about, was created for the devil, was not created for people. However, the people who choose to worship Satan and not worship God will end up in the same place Satan is going. Does that make sense? If you don't have a car and you're taking a bus and the bus say, I'm going to Sawgrass Mills Mall. And you're like, but I want to go to the beach. And the bus driver say, I'm going to Sawgrass Mills Mall. And you're like, you know what? I'll just go. Guess what? You're going to end up in Sawgrass Mills Mall because you went on the wrong bus. Following Satan's will is kind of like going on the wrong bus. You're going to end up in a place that you're not trying to get to. It's time to flip the script on him and say, you know what? I ain't going to worship you no more. I'm going to give true worship. You want to see what true worship looks like? Go with me to Revelation 4. Revelation 4, let me show you something. Let me show you some authentic worship. Revelation chapter 4. Let's start in verse 1. It says this. Then, as I looked, I saw a door standing open in the heaven. And the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. And instantly, I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. Now, in front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes, front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face, and the fourth was like eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes, inside and out. So when we get to heaven, we're going to see some living beings that don't look like us. Going to have a lot of eyes. I'm not talking about cross-eyed eyes. I'm just talking about eyes everywhere. So get used to it. Now look at this. Day after day and night after night, they keep on saying, listen to this now, day and night, they keep on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. All day, day and night. That means they're praising and worshiping without ceasing. Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord." Why? To receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased, including you and me. We exist because God chose to create us to do what? To worship him. But when we figure, oh, I can't be bothered worshiping God, I'll just worship the devil with my actions. Don't do that. Key point number one, write this down. True, authentic worship moves the hand of God. Demonic worship will put you in Satan's hands. True, authentic worship moves the hand of God. Demonic worship will put you in Satan's hand. Yes, there is such a thing as demonic worship. Most people who are worshiping Satan right now don't know they're worshiping Satan. They just figure they're being neutral. They just figure, I'm not worshiping any God. I'm just being by myself. Some people don't even believe there's a God. So that means their God is the devil. See how that works? The problem is, because most people have no clue they're worshiping, Satan craftily leads them towards his team, where they're worshiping him and don't even realize it. And it's sad. We have to change that. We have to break that curse. We have to shine our light so that the people we come in contact with will see something different about us and say, why are you that way? Why are you always smiling? That's why I tell you, I don't like the sourpuss Christians. You know those Christians that they won't smile for nothing. I say to them, praise the Lord, how are you doing? They're like, praise the Lord. I'm like, I don't know what I did to you, but my Bible says in Galatians 5 that joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to have joy. I'm going to speak with joy. I'm going to walk with joy. I'm going to smile. And I'm not talking about a female named Joy. I'm talking about the actual joy of the Lord. Because some guys listen and say, oh, pastor, got a girl named Joy hanging out with. No, I don't. But I have to joy the Lord. He's my strength. And he's the one that keeps me smiling, laughing, ecstatic. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Because I'm going to show you what Satan is up to. And that's why this teaching is so important today. Because we need to know what our enemy is doing so that we can be victorious over our enemy. Make sense? Work with me. I told you I've been screaming from coaching the boys' soccer team, but I'm making the best effort to bring this word. If you don't understand something, the Spirit of God will let me repeat it. Don't worry. He's got your back. Revelation 12, verse 1 says this. Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Now, you may hear this and not understand, so let me explain. The man of God is not talking about a regular woman. He's talking about the nation of Israel getting ready to give birth to Jesus, the Messiah. Satan don't want Jesus to be born because he knows Jesus is going to come and die for the whole world and reunite mankind back to the Father. So that's why it was so much difficulty involved with Israel being a nation and giving birth to the Messiah before that. It's really a challenge for them. So that's what he's talking about. So let's read on a little bit more, verses 3 to 5. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon. Let me hear somebody say, that's the devil. With 7 heads and 10 horns, with 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. That's 1/3 of the angels. Stay with me. Satan convinced 1/3 of the angels who see God on the throne. He convinced them to follow him. So, what chance do we have if we're not in the Word and in Christ Jesus? We're going to be easily influenced by the devil to follow him. If he's slick enough to convince angels who can see God right there, sitting on the throne, don't miss this. He convinced not 1/10, not 1%, 33% of the angels he convinced. That's baffling to me. I'm like, what? So this guy is slick. He's way smarter than people give him credit for. And I'm letting the cat out the bag today so you can be aware of who you're dealing with. Now let's read on. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God, to his throne. So Jesus was not captured by the devil. Let me show you what the devil tried, though. When Jesus was born, he tried to defile Jesus. So go with me to Matthew 4. Let me show you that. And if anyone needs a Bible, I know we have some people coming late. If you do need a Bible, put your hand up. If you need a Bible to follow along. Ushers, please give them a Bible. I want everyone to follow along. This is very important. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Matthew 4, starting in verse 1. Then, this is the temptation of Jesus now. You're going to see what this demon was trying to do. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. 40 days, no food? Some of us can't go 4 days without food. Some of us can't go 4 hours. They wake up, they're like, first stop is the kitchen. Open the fridge. Listen, I know, we love to eat. But there are times for everything. There's a time for fasting. And I'm not talking about driving fast either. I'm talking about fasting from food. So here's the thing. So now, verse 3. During that time, the devil came and said to him, I'm not going to try and talk like the devil. If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Because the devil knew he was hungry for food. So he tried him with food first. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Hallelujah.
Jesus told them a thing or two. Then verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says," see now, the devil is using scriptures on Jesus. Because it really does say in Psalm 91. For the scriptures say, "He will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." So he's using scriptures to try and get Jesus to sin. And I know people that do that. They're trying to find loophole scriptures to see, okay, if I do that, then I can be okay. We got to study the Bible in its entirety. Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." So the devil tried Jesus with his belly. That didn't work. Then he tried him to commit suicide. That didn't work. Then he said, okay, maybe I can lure him to worship me by offering him stuff. That's what the devil is good at doing. Next, verse 8, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And then he says, "I will give it all to you," he said. "What? What do I have to do to get it? If you will kneel down and worship me." Well, Jesus didn't ask him that. But I'm just saying, that's what people will say. When Satan comes and say, "Hey, I will give you the biggest business. I will give you the best house, the nicest cars. I will give you all the money you want. Millions, even billions, I will make you rich." People are like, "What do I got to do to get it?" The devil whispers, "Worship me." That's what he said to Jesus. And that's what he tells people every single day. And so many people drink the Kool-Aid. Don't even know it. "Who have time for church, man? I got to work." Of course, because you got to drink the Kool-Aid to make that money and stay away from God. "Who got time to read the Bible? I'm too busy taking care of my things, man. I got to take care of the family, you know." Only thing I know is that you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping the devil. It's a big difference. So when he said to Jesus, "If you will kneel down and worship me," Jesus got mad. What did Jesus say? "Get out of here, Satan!" That's what Jesus told him. "For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." That's my hero right there. He's not afraid to rebuke that demon. Then the devil went away because he told him to. And angels came and took care of him. I don't know if they brought Jesus oxtail and rice and peas or bread and cheese. I don't know. But they brought him something. He wasn't hungry after that. Maybe they brought him a snapper, you know. Anyways, moving on. Your key point number 2. Write this down. For your worship, Satan has many promises coming out of his mouth, but he won't show you the end result when your contract runs out. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. I wish somebody would get this in their spirit. For your worship, Satan has many promises coming out of his mouth, but he won't show you the end result when your contract runs out. It's on the screen. Write it down so you can share it with your friends. That's good ministry right there. Because the devil is fooling so many people out there, thinking they're getting a good deal. I hear some of them talk about it, and we laugh, but it's serious. I was watching an interview with that rapper kid one time. What's his name? Snicker Bar. Eminem. Right? And he said out of his own mouth, and I quote, he said, "You know, I sold my soul to the devil, but I didn't get what I thought I was going to get." And I feel sorry for that kid. I'm like, man, he gave in for fame and riches. And he didn't realize that it's not what it's cooked up to be. It could be so much better if he had given his life to Jesus. Blank. Okay. He would have had a better life if he'd given his life to Jesus. My friends, don't let the devil convince you to sign a contract with him. Don't give your worship to him. Worship God, the author and finisher of your faith, the one who is going to make sure when you stand before him for judgment, he's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." And I say faithful because it's not easy to worship God. It's challenging. You're going to have obstacles in your way. You're going to have obstacles outside of your house, inside your house, on the roadways, everywhere you go. You're going to have obstacles on the job, even in the supermarket. You're trying to be nice, people are going to be bitter and angry and nasty. And you got to remember, our actions got to worship God. And when we do, he will get the glory. And if he's glorified, then we will be satisfied. Anybody want to be satisfied? Glory be to God. There is nothing like going to a nice restaurant, paying for your food, and the restaurant looks good outside, looks good inside. But when you taste the food, it tastes horrible on the inside. It's a raw deal. All right? Not good. Should have went to Fins and Things. Then you'll be satisfied. All right? But on a serious note, when we eat off the word of God, when we live the word of God, we will be satisfied, my friends. We will be. I guarantee it. Now, most people won't be running around saying, "I worship you, Lord Satan." So Satan knows that. And being as crafty as he is, Satan came up with other ways to get worship from people. We know the regular distractions, and I'll tell you a few. You know, like the television is a distraction, so you don't worship God, you're just focused on your TV show. Some people, they will not read their Bible for an hour, half hour, or even 10 minutes, because we give the Bible reading every week. Some people don't do that. They don't read their Bible reading every day, you know, to do the weekly reading. But they don't miss their soap opera. They don't miss their favorite TV show. They do not miss the 7 o'clock news. I'm just trying to help. Don't be mad at me. But I'm just telling you, the TV can get your worship away from God. Here's a big one now. The tell-life phones. I call it tell-life phones because I can't count the amount of time people lied to me on the phone. I'm sure they lied to you too. How about this one? You call somebody up. Where you at? Well, I'll be there in a minute. Half hour later, they still ain't there. They lied to you. Okay, let me stop before I get people in trouble. Here's another distraction. For the youngsters and some of the older folks, the video games. I haven't really seen a video game that's teaching the Word of God. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but these things are distractions that Satan allow to be implemented to take your worship away from God. Let me continue. Social media. That social media. The WhatsApp, the what's not, the Facebook, the Twitter flipper, all them social media things. All distractions. Now, I'm not saying you don't, you're not allowed to do these things, but in moderation. God is a jealous God. And He wants you to give your worship to Him. Because let's face it, Satan is in the lead when it comes to getting worship from mankind. He's getting more worship from mankind than God is. And that's embarrassing. Here's some other ways that we worship Satan. Lust of the flesh, greed, jealousy, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, all these things, etc. All these things are like hallelujahs and amens to Satan. I'm giving you some wisdom, my friends, that will, the Holy Spirit is giving us some wisdom that will transform our lives if we understand how Satan works. Don't allow him to get your worship. Because you could say Jesus out of your mouth and your life is lived giving worship to Satan. Not good. Satan even convinces, watch this is so crazy. Satan even convinces grown men and women. He convinced them that there is no God. And they were like, oh, I'm an atheist. And they're even proud of it. Me and my wife went to a store one day, and I said, praise the Lord, to the lady doing the cashiering. Young girl, too. She got to be like in her 20s. Young. Not probably like 22, 21. Young girl. And I said, praise the Lord. What are you doing? And she looked at me. I'm like, did I offend you by saying praise the Lord? And she's like, well, you know, you can say what you want, but I'm an atheist. And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, may I ask, how did you become an atheist? She's like, I just don't believe there's a God. Now, sometimes God will say things to share with people, and sometimes He won't. And that time, He didn't let me go too deep into anything. But I just share with her that, look, I believe there's a God. I know there's a God, and I know He loves you. And sometimes you have to plant a little seed for someone to think about it. Then somebody else will come and water it. Next thing you know, God brings the increase, the seed grows. Someone is in a place where they don't want to hear what you have to say. You don't have to cram anything down their throat because it will not be received well. And Satan will remind them, you see how that Christian person was aggravating you? That shows you there is no God. Because why would God aggravate you? The devil used that. But the real aggravation comes from the devil, not from God, and not from the people. Because the people that Satan uses to get under our skin, to get on our second to last nerves, and to get on our last nerves. When someone gets on your last nerves, you're at the point when you're ready to start swinging. When you're ready to start telling them something. And every time you see a lady start moving her head like this, Somebody's about to get it. Let me tell you something. I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go. Watch out. I'm like, referee, please stop. Don't let people bring you there. Walk away. Pray your way through. And ask God for strength. And ask God for the ability to worship Him in the midst of your trials. That's what I do. I get tempted too to knock people out. I honestly do. Because it's embarrassing to me when someone lies straight in my face. Or someone try to insult my intelligence. And since I used to knock people out for fun, the devil uses the past life to tempt you with now as a Christian. So he said, Trevor, just knock him out. Ain't nobody around from the church to see. But God sees everything I do. So if I knock him out, then I'm going to have to say, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. So I said, Lord, give me strength to worship you in my actions so I don't fail you and fail this individual. That's how it works. Every day is trying. And I pray and I cry out to God. Me and Deacon Steve talk about this and laugh and say, it's hard to be a Christian. We cry out to God. But guess what? It's doable. Because with God, we can do all things. If you're trying to do this thing on your own or with your flesh and your own little mindset, it ain't going to work. You're going to fail every day. But when you put on the mind of Christ, when you put on the whole armor of God, and you say, I'm going to worship God with my life and no devil in hell going to stop me, you will do it. You got to make your mind up. And you got to go for it. God, God didn't give us the spirit of fear or timidity. We're not supposed to be timid. No, we're roaring lions. He gave us boldness. He gave us power and a sound mind, right, full thinking. Remember who we are. So when people rub you, let it smooth you out. Pray for them. That's what I do. It helps. It works. I'm telling you what works. True worship. Because everything else is false worship. And it's worship to the devil. Don't do it. All right. So now, I got to tell you another thing that the devil is doing. Because I believe, in my heart, as a pastor, based on the word of God, and what I'm seeing in the world today, I believe that the Antichrist is already alive and waiting to take over the entire world. I believe that. I also believe that he has been working secretly, putting a whole bunch of things in play to control the human race. We're living in a world where we're now told what to do in a subliminal way. Like they tell us we must wear a mask. Can't go into places without a mask. They tell us that we have to take a vaccine. They're going to make it mandatory as well, that you must take a vaccine to buy your food or to go into stores or travel and all that. They're already working on that. And what's the next thing they're going to tell you? That you must take the mark of the beast. The good thing is, we who are believers won't be here for the mark of the beast. That's a good place for hallelujah. Oh yes, my friend, but it's all a part of the devil's plan to do what? Obtain worship. Yes, he's doing all of this to obtain worship from mankind. But first of all, the Spirit of God wanted me to share what the word subliminal means. I have an arsenal of words that I could use when I teach that only the higher learned, college educated will understand. Everybody else is going to have to Google it and see what that word means. But I don't like to teach like that. I like to teach where everyone can understand the things I'm saying. And that's why sometimes when I use certain words, I give you the meaning. That's just how I am. I'm down to earth. I don't think I'm smarter than nobody. I just know I want people to understand what the Holy Spirit is saying through me. So the word subliminal, it means this, and it's very crazy what it means. Perceived by or affecting someone's mind without them being aware of it. So, the enemy is now affecting our mind into a new way of thinking without us being aware that he's behind it. That's what I see spiritually happening in the world today. And only us who are in Christ Jesus can recognize and say, oh, so that's the game. And what is it leading up to? It's all because Satan wants our worship. I will prove it to you. Let me hear somebody say, show me something, Pastor. Okay, go to Revelation 13. You guys came to a Bible teaching church, so you're going to get the word of God. Revelation 13. All he wants is our worship. Let's look at the Antichrist and the dragon giving him his power. Starting in verse 1, I wait till we get there. Very important. Then I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns, with 10 crowns on its horns. And written on each head were names that blaspheme God. He hates God. This beast looked like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his own power. So Satan gave the Antichrist his own power and throne and great authority. Stay with me. I saw that one of the heads on the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. The whole world marveled at this miracle, and gave allegiance to the beast. What did they do? They worshiped the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worship the beast. Who is great as the beast, they exclaim, who is able to fight against him? That's what will be happening in the near future. Key point number 3. Write this down and then we'll talk some more. Jesus will rapture us, the church, before the beast gets public worship from his church. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus will rapture us, the church, before the beast gets public worship from his church. Because the Antichrist will not step into power until we are taken out of here. What's holding him back? We are holding him back. The Holy Spirit that's in you and I and all the believers on earth, we are holding back the Antichrist from coming into fruition with his power. But when the Spirit of God raptures us out of here and the Holy Spirit leaves with us, then the demonic spirit can rise up. That's how it works. Glory be to God. We won't be here for that. But we're sharing this because there's some people who are listening on the radio right now, watching on television right now, or maybe even visiting right now. We don't know. You may not be saved. And we want you to get on the winning team so that when you hear the trumpet, boom, you're out of here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. It's not God's will that any should perish. No, but that all should repent and have everlasting life. So we got to take this thing to heart. Let's get back to Revelation 13. But we're going to drop down to verse 11 now. Verse 11. Let's talk a little bit more about how he wants this worship. Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth. He had two horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast. And he required all the earth and its people to do what? Worship the first beast. Because it's all about the worship. Worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. He did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. And with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the people who belong to this world. He ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. He was then permitted to give life to the statue so that it could speak. Then the statue of the beast commanded what? That anyone refusing to worship it must die. It's all about the worship with the devil. He is hungry for worship. He lusts for worship. And guess what? People are going to do it because they love the empty promises that Satan promised them to make them rich, to make them live in luxury, to give them everything that they want. That's what they're going to do so that they can get worship. So that they can get worship. The devil wants worship. The Antichrist wants worship. He's the beast. And who else wants worship? Even the false prophet. And notice how Satan is such a master copycat. We know that there's God the Father, right? There's Jesus the Son. And then there's the Holy Spirit. Look at what the devil does. He's the dragon. Then you have the Antichrist, who is the beast. Then you have the false prophet, who works hand in hand with the beast. He copies everything because he wants the worship from people. And so far, he's getting a lot of worship. Many people are worshiping them. And some don't even know it. And look at what, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. Jesus died on the cross, right? And he was raised from the dead. You notice the beast. He says he is going to recover from a fatal wound to the head. That means the Antichrist, when he comes into power, someone's going to shoot him in the head. He's going to die and recover. We got a volunteer over there. Don't shoot him in the head. He's going to recover. And people are going like, whoa, he came back to life. And they're going to worship him. I was on the radio one day talking about this. Someone called a radio station, Pastor, how you know that he's going to get shot in the head? I said, well, I guess someone could stab him in the head or a bow and arrow. But not likely. Most likely, someone's going to shoot him in the head. And they're like, okay. Because the Bible didn't say shoot him in the head. It says fatal wound. But we're living in a time now that so many people have guns. And that's the preferred method of taking somebody out. Okay, so that's why I said that. Anyways, he's going to die. The whole world is going to hear of his death. And he's going to recover. And when he recovers, everyone's going to be like, oh, he must be the Christ. He came back to life. He's the Antichrist. People are going to be fooled. Your key point number 4. Final key point, write this down. Jesus Christ died for our sins and was raised to life. So we worship him. Okay? The beast will die and return to life, and the world will worship him. I say it like that because that's exactly what's going to happen. Jesus Christ died for our sins and was raised to life. So we worship him. We got salvation through Jesus Christ. We worship him. The beast will die and return to life, and the world will worship him. Because they don't care about salvation. What they care about is possession. The glory that the devil will give them. The wealth, the riches, the status quo. Oh, I've got my nice house, and who needs to worship God when I got a nice house as this? Who needs to praise God and worship him when I got all my bills paid and lots of cash in my bank account? And the devil is like, that's right, that's right. You're doing good, you're doing good. Shh. It's fascinating the amount of people that listen to Satan, the one who seeks to kill and destroy your soul. Don't listen to that demon. Not to mention, he's ugly. They're going to listen to ugly people. In the natural, you're scared to talk to ugly people. You ever meet somebody and they're like, why are you so ugly? You must be a really bad sinner. What did you do in life to deserve that? There's a guy with a song back in the day. He said that pretty looks is done and you didn't get none. I know, it's crazy, right? But thank God, we who have Christ Jesus, we're beautiful because we don't look like a demon. And the devil will tell you, oh, you're ugly. Spend all day in the mirror trying to fix yourself up. No, you don't have to. You're beautiful if you have Christ Jesus. Some of you ladies, I know you go shopping all the time. You buy everything you got to buy. You put on your makeup. You do your hair. You don't have to go all the way like that. You are beautiful if you have Christ Jesus. And guys, please, compliment the ladies, especially when they spend so much time to beautify themselves. Let them know he's looking beautiful. Because if you don't, they're like, man, something wrong. That's why she said, let me borrow your glasses. And she cleaned your glasses for you. She's trying to let you know she needs a compliment. You're not saying it. All right, let's wrap this up. Revelation 13, verse 16. Verse 16. Look at what's going to be happening. And they already started the process. He required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to wear a mask. Okay. It's not wearing the mask that he's going to require in the latter. Wearing the mask is just the teaser, is just the working up to the next phases. Stay with me. It required everyone to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Now, wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast. For it is a number of a man. His number is 666. Now, only thing I want to say to you about this is, be wise. Do your own research and studies. Because I pray and I say, God, you got to explain the 666 to me. He said, well, Trevor, what, 6 plus 6 plus 6? I said, 18. I'm good with math. That's my favorite subject. I like to count. He said, okay, well, any leader you see carrying on like this in the end times that have 18 letters to their name, pay attention to that leader. I said, okay. So I tell you the same thing. All right. Remember key things here. In the last days, there's going to be a large group of influencers, kind of like the Congress, telling everyone this is what you must do. Like it says, you won't buy or sell without the mark. Right now, we can't buy food without the mask. Not the mark, but without the mask. When I go to Publix, there's a sign that says, face covering is mandatory to come in. There was a guy in Miami that said, I don't feel like wearing the mask. I don't have no sickness. And they called the police on him. He had to be escorted out. I'm just sharing with you where we're heading. It's time to wake up and stop living in sin. Stop acting like a fool. Stop just doing whatever butters your bread. And stop worshiping. Start worshiping the true and living God. Because there's going to come a time when we disappear. And you will be looking around us. Looking around for us, rather. Can't find us. Because I'm not going to stick around for this time. No. And I encourage you to do the same. Vacate the scene before it gets really crazy. Let's go to the last place we're going to look at. Matthew chapter 7. Give you some encouraging words here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Don't worry, it's almost time for your lunch. We're almost done. I love that. Eating the real food here. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. I love this area of scripture because Jesus is speaking and he's being real with his disciples. He's just laying it out on the table for them, being real. It says this, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. What does the narrow gate look like? Sometimes we have to walk alone. Sometimes our friends want us to be partying and carrying on and doing a whole bunch of things. And we have to say, I'm going to stay on the straight and narrow path. Sometimes it gets so narrow, we have to put one foot in front of the other foot. Because if we walk side by side, it's too broad. Sometimes the narrow path means we have to stop and wait until the foolishness go by. And then we continue on. The narrow path is the only way we're going to get to heaven. Talking to somebody today. It says this, the highway to hell is broad. And the gate is wide for the many who choose that way. So that means you can get up and do whatever you want to do. You're grown. No one can tell you nothing. Yeah, but in the end, where does it lead? It leads to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. Not to mention it's hot down there. No air condition. If you think South Florida is hot, do not go to South Hell. When I go in my truck, I turn with the AC, I turn it's too hot. I wouldn't do good in hell, so I'm not going. Now, let's see who wants to go to heaven. Okay, put your hand down. You got to be quick because that was a very slow response. I'll give you one more chance. Who wants to go to heaven? Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, here is who going to really make it. Verse 14. Scary verse, but Jesus again is being real with his people. He says, but the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult. And here's the thing that got me. And only a few ever find it. So that tells me when the rapture happens, more than half the church maybe is going to be left behind. Because they attend church, but they are not the church. Only a few will ever find it. Exactly. How many times have a Christian or a so-called Christians rub you the wrong way? Lied on you. Lied to you. Rob you. Say things that hurt your feelings. Put you down. And they turn around and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, quit with the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy. We've all experienced that. But nonetheless, it's our duty to forgive, love, and let them see Jesus being worshipped in our life. That's how you win that. My friends, I want you to take this serious. Don't you get it? It's all about the worship. That's our topic. But it should be our lifestyle. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word going forth. Thank you for reminding us that's all about the worship. You created us to worship you, and Satan is trying to use false promises and misguided things in life to get the worship from your people. I pray right now that everyone listening to the sound of my voice would judge themselves just so they don't come into judgment by you in a negative way. I pray for every heart that needs to be repenting today that you would give them a supernatural racing heartbeat as an indication that you are miraculously calling them to repent. Hallelujah, Jesus. You may be sitting right here in this sanctuary, and the Spirit of God is tugging on your heart. And you know, because your heart wasn't beating that fast a few seconds ago or a few minutes ago. That's God saying, I want you, my child, to be a part of my kingdom. You may be watching online, on the television, listening on the radio, wherever you're joining us from today. And the Spirit of God is tugging on your heart. I am encouraging you right now to answer Him and allow His Spirit to come in. What will He do? He will change you from the inside out. Hallelujah, Jesus. He will help you to understand His ways, which are higher and greater than our ways. But it starts with coming to Him the way we are, and He will change us into who we ought to be. So I'm going to lead in a prayer right now. And if you want to start the transformation in your life, if you want to see better days, and the ultimate days, the best days, you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior into your heart. Won't you repeat after me? Say, Lord God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But today, Lord, I repent of all my sins. And I turn to you. Wash me clean and make me new. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me and for being raised on the third day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and stay with me from this day forward. I am yours. And I thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Jesus.